Well, you are here. I can tell you're so present. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Such a great lunch. Such a privilege to go to our second session. I love it how the Lord just chose to call us unto himself. And then he wants to send us out in the power of his Spirit. Isn't that so sweet of the Lord? He doesn't just let us, you finish the task. He calls us repeatedly to ourselves. So this second session, we're going to talk about the empowered church. And we are the church as individuals and collectively. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that leads and guides and for your anointing on your word as we receive it. Amen. So, I remember this day where I had a very long day, as many of you know what that is like, and I honestly was very exhausted and felt like going home. Have you ever felt that? But I was on my way to do a small group. I remember thinking on my way, I wish I could just go home, it's so cold. But I got to the place where the group was, and I sat in the car, and I said, Lord, I am so tired, but you are filled with energy. Holy Spirit, I am so weak, but you are so strong. I am so empty, but you are filled to overflowing. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm not enough, but you are more than enough. Turn the car off, go inside. I didn't feel any different. Instead, I come to find out everybody else felt just like I did for one reason or another. But the discussion for the evening and what the word was about the Holy Spirit. I will never forget it because, you know, this happens often, but this was just a specific moment that I so remember, that as we were speaking about the Holy Spirit, engaging with the Holy Spirit and reading what the Word says, the energy just came in the room just by talking about Him. We hadn't even asked anything, just speaking about the Holy Spirit. Well, we were all completely energized, and I left that place. I went shopping instead of going home because I was so energized. You know, I don't know about you, but I just so admire the Holy Spirit, how he works. Amen? And I know that this can happen so often, and it's really not a big deal. Sometimes we go maybe into places of ministry. We have to lead worship. We have to preach, lead a group. Or whatever you do as a leader, and it's not just physical tiredness, spiritual tiredness, even maybe sometimes more than that. Just spoke to a pastor yesterday, like sometimes it's suffering and we're hurting. And I always say to myself when moments come like that, and I go to the place of ministry as you do, I always say to myself, Esther, you can go in brokenness, but you cannot go defeated. And that is so true. We can go in brokenness because his strength is increased in our weakness as we're just so broken and we just lean on the Lord. And isn't he so faithful? The Holy Spirit, he equips us, but we cannot go defeated. You know, there's been times that I literally thank the Lord for choosing me to bring his word because I just didn't have the option to go and pull the blanket over my head. I didn't have the option because I had to be in front of the people so I couldn't be defeated, couldn't allow myself to stay there. We get there, but not to stay there. So I'm just thankful how he empowers the church, how he empowers you and I by his Holy Spirit. When The disciples were having some final words with the Lord in Acts 1, verse 4 to 8. And they said, Lord, they knew Jesus was going to go to heaven. Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? That was this ongoing question, unresolved situation. And the Lord literally said to him, it's not up to you to know the times and the season, but I'm going to give you power to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. And I always loved that so much. All the situations may not be resolved on this side of heaven, but he's going to give his power. And I thank God for his power. Amen? So in this session and next session, we are going to draw, look and see what it says in Acts 16, in both sessions. So let's go to Acts 16. And it says in verse 1, when Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. There's going to be disciples right where we come, or right where we are, right? His name is Timothy, a son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers, and Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him. And so they went and strengthened the churches in the faith and increased they increased in number daily. And so the first point of the empowered church is the joining of the Spirit. And underneath there, if you can have a little sub point, empowered to make disciples. I'm so thankful for the joining of the Spirit. Especially, I love it when with a person, I sometimes meet someone and don't even know their language, but I can have the joining of the Spirit. Wonderful if you have that with your spouse. Or when we hire new members on our staff, especially pastoral staff, we pray, Lord, let me find somebody where I can have a joining of the Spirit, to be one in spirit and one in mind. Don't you love that? It's from the Holy Spirit, amen? And God has empowered us to make disciples. It's the yearning of the Spirit, too, that more disciples will be made for the kingdom because Jesus is coming back and he has empowered us to make disciples. Now, when we make disciples, as we have all experienced as leaders, you don't always right away have the joining, right? Sometimes in relationships, it can be very challenging. I love the fact that Timothy said, apparently, he said yes, and he became like a son of Paul in the gospel, like a father and son together. And it was such a joining in the Holy Spirit. And I love that he said yes. And anytime I meet a young person, and I know there are some here in the room today, and I meet a young person that says yes to the Lord, yes to walk the narrow road, yes to be led by the Spirit, yes, I want to do his will, yes, I want to walk the Calvary road, yes, I want to trust God, I just want to hug him. I'm so excited because the Lord, he is raising up. I love your generation. Actually, maybe a little different, but my husband and I both lead a young adult group at this time. And I had a leader tell me that really that shouldn't be, but the Lord led us. And we love investing in the new generation, the next generation. That's what Paul did. But to invest in this generation and to make disciples, the Holy Spirit is there to empower us to make disciples. But as we know, as we make disciples, it's not always that easy. Sometimes there is a little, you know, it doesn't always go right away so easily. I remember this lady that was doing this group in our church, and she said, they just don't follow through. They just don't follow through. I don't know what to do anymore. They just don't follow through. And I just had this moment thinking, all the people that she had, those women, they came from such background where they never even learned the basic things like being responsible or, you know, just the basic things. And it took a longer time. And some people come from backgrounds that come from such broken situations and lives that it takes that longer patience. But, you know, I think it's beautiful that God uses all things to work in us. Amen? As a leader, he used sometimes, you know, we are in a relationship with someone and maybe they're not giving anything back. Or maybe it's just so difficult and it's difficult. But the Lord wants to work his love in our hearts. His love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And my love is completely limited. But his love is unlimited, unconditional. And that's what I need to disciple people. And he has that for us through the Holy Spirit. And that's how he empowers us and gives us that wisdom. You know, to have the wisdom of the Spirit. To be led by his Spirit. To have a word of knowledge. Lord, we want to believe you for greater things in these relationships because we need to make disciples. He says, all power has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, number two, let's read that first in Acts 16, verse 6 to 8. It says, now, when they had gone through Perga, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Number two is the leading of the Spirit, Subword, empowered to hear. Empowered to hear. I'm so thankful that by the Holy Spirit, he empowers us to hear. I'm so thankful that he wants to still lead us by his Holy Spirit. Amen. We were talking about it last night. At dinner with Pastor Greg and Laura, that Jerry and I would not be at all where we are today had it not been for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because he led us in ways that I never even thought about. But I think it's so powerful that the Lord still wants to lead his church, his people by his Spirit. It's not, oh, where is the opportunity? It's where God is leading me. Now, it says clearly that they were forbidden to go to Asia. It wasn't because there weren't people that needed Christ. We know that. But it was because it was a specific time for them to go into Macedonia, with this modern-day Greece, into Europe, that the gospel had never come. Yay, Europe. Yes, it was the time. It was a fruit that we reaped later on. But it was the time for them. And it was specific people that the Lord God saw. And you know, when first of all, there was, no, you can't go to Asia. I don't know how it came to Paul. I don't know if it was through a prompting. I don't know if it was just through a knowing. I don't know if it came through a still small voice. But in the Spirit, he knew, I am not supposed to go further with that. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be so strong in our hearts that we will know, no, we're not supposed to do this. Or maybe it's not going to a certain location, or I'm not supposed to go there in conversation. Not supposed to go there in our actions, not even a location. But even when he must have been waiting, Lord, okay, you say no, but where do you want us to go? And then the Lord led him and spoke to him through a vision, come and help us, this Macedonian man, and come to Macedonia. Now, Paul, when he saw that vision in the night, his response was, yay. Don't you love it when the Lord gives you the answer after seeking him and you know this is the leading, this is what you're supposed to do? I just love that from the Lord. He empowers us to be led and he empowers us to hear him. And so he knew it without a doubt and he said, yes, we're going. And there he left with Silas, with Timothy, Luke joined them. And he left on his way. But sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us in places that maybe wasn't our choice, or we didn't think about it, or we didn't really want to at first. And that's what we talked about last night. When it first came apparent for us to leave the work that I had been brought up in, and such a strong bond, I literally said, no, Lord, I can't do that. But you know what? We never have to be afraid for that. I want to say this especially for the young people. We never have to be afraid. Oh, but what if he... I said that when I was about 22. I said, I don't know if I can surrender completely to you, Lord, because what if you ask me to do something I don't want to do or go someplace where I don't want to go? And how silly, right? But I said that to the Lord, and instantly the Lord said to be renewed in our mind that we might know the good and perfect will of God. And boom, I could surrender to the Lord. But what I want to say is if the Lord does ask some place or thing that was not your choice and that is hard for you, you don't have to worry about it because he works the obedience in your heart. I love that about the Holy Spirit. He works both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amen. So they came to Macedonia and they didn't have a contact person. They didn't know anybody. They had never been there. That was also a leaning on the Holy Spirit to continue to lead them. Those he calls, he also equips, right? And it says that they were there for some days. And then on the Sabbath day, they went to the river and met up with some women. I think Paul must have been looking for a Macedonian man, but it was several women that he met up with. And they were by the river, and he met up with Lydia, who was a businesswoman. And it says in verse 14, chapter 16, who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come in my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. I love it how it says that the Lord opened up her heart. That is a good prayer line. In making disciples, in hearing him, in being led by him, that as we trust the Lord to lead us and to guide us, Lord, we preach, but you do the work and open the hearts. Lord, I raise my children for you, but you have to do the work in their hearts. Actually, that's what the Lord put in my heart when my kids were little. Esther, it's good you do all these things, but remember, I have to do the work. And at that moment, I know it was a correction from the Lord, but later when my son went a different road, I took it as a promise. Lord, you will do the work. That's what he said in Lydia. Lord, when I teach this class, Lord, when I lead the worship, Lord, I do these things led by your Spirit, but you do the work. You open the heart. And the Lord opened her heart. She was already a worshiper of God, but she didn't know Jesus. And she committed her life to Christ. They were baptized, she and her whole family. It wasn't a Macedonian man, but it was who the Lord wanted them to connect with. And sometimes, don't you find it true that when we are led by the Lord, it looks a little different than what we anticipated? And I know there's somebody here. You felt led by the Lord, you have prayed, but it looks different than what you thought. Held steady, because the Lord will work it all out. So then, after that, it says, now it happened, verse 16, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Number three is, as a empowered church, we have the authority of the Spirit. The authority of the Spirit. A little sub is empowered to heal and deliver. You know, it happened in the middle of the street. And this girl looked so together, and she said the right things. These are men of the Most High, servants of the Most High God, who proclaim the salvation of the Lord. She said the right things, but inside she was broken. Inside she was so wounded. She was abused. She was misused. And Paul saw to the root. As the empowered church of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, help me, help us to look beyond frustrations, beyond the hindrances, beyond the obstacles or the outward appearance, but Lord, help us to see the heart. And he recognized, and you know, he said, it says he was annoyed. I think he really was annoyed by the Spirit. Now, sometimes I cannot use that because I'm not annoyed in the Spirit, I'm just annoyed in my flesh. But you know, he saw beyond that. And he took the authority and he said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And the girl was set free. We have the authority in Jesus' name. Oh, there's so much to say about that. But just a couple of months ago, in my sequence of reading, I want to tell you a few things. I was reading Matthew 16, verse 18 to 19. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I was reading that, and I felt the Holy Spirit putting in my heart, Esther, do not forget to take the authority in my name. I felt the Holy Spirit reminding me of that. And I thought of a situation I was dealing with. I did it just there. I took that spirit of deception and the spirit of distraction, and I bound those spirits in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I loosed the person. And it just was a little warfare, because we can't fight spiritual battles with natural weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pull down strongholds. And after this happened, I literally sit back and think, Lord, thank you for your authority in your name. Thank you for your power. But oh God, thank you that you also provide ways that I can just pour out, and you can pour in, and that I can just sit in your presence, Lord. I'm literally thinking that. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, we need both. Well, a couple minutes later, my daughter called, and I said, Jane, the Holy Spirit reminded me that we need to take the authority in our name about these impossible situations in Christ's name. And she said, I said to her, but you know, I was just thanking the Lord for that intimacy prayer and pouring out and receiving from the Lord, making the exchange. And she said, Mom, that's really significant. She said, just this morning in my sequence of reading, I was reading how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house, Matthew 12:29. She says, but I also read a few verses before, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And, sorry, she said, Mom, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. We need both. I go, Jamie, that's what the Lord spoke to me. We need both. And I just thank the Lord for the authority that is in his name. We need young generation that knows what it looks like and how to trample upon snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. You know, when you take that authority in his name, you do get pushback because the enemy doesn't say, oh, okay, just take it. You know, and we'll find that in the next session. There was pushback, but it's all worth it, and it's needed because there is power in his name, and people need to be set free, and we cannot win those battles any other way. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so I am thankful that the Lord provides us that authority in his name, but he also, number four, the rest of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. And to hear from the Spirit, but the rest of the Spirit is also so important. To have the authority in the Spirit, but to have the rest of the Spirit. We can't function in our ministries as leaders without the rest of the Spirit. Now, that rest comes when we make the exchange with the Lord, and it's my greatest delight. I love that. I'm thankful that the Lord provides that. But sometimes that rest doesn't come until the battle is fought in prayer of taking authority. There was a lady, I've led women's prayer meetings for many years, and there was a lady, and I hadn't seen her for a while, so I said to her when I saw her one time, I said, hey, I've been missing you. Are you okay? She goes, yeah, I just don't like the way you pray. And like, I don't like the way some of the ladies pray. You know, sometimes you just get a little loud. And I like more peace. And I looked at her and I go, I like that too. I love. But sometimes the peace doesn't come unless there is someone willing to stand in the gap and take the authority that is available to us in Jesus' name. I thank the Lord for that. And it can look in all different ways. You know, with the young adult I met with last week, and it was evening, and she said, you know, I just have all these... I feel so empty, and I feel these weird thoughts and negative thoughts. And I said, well, don't you think you shared your testimony on the screen this morning? There's a little pushback from the enemy. Satan is under your foot. And Christ is seated next to the Father on the throne above all principalities and powers and dominions and over every name, and everything has been placed under his feet. He is the head. We're the body. He fills us all in all. So it's under your feet. And she recognized it. Such a 19-year-old. She recognized it. And she understands, and I pray that she too will be an intercessor. It can look all different ways, and there are so many different ways, but we're coming to a close. Sometimes it's just us by ourselves in the car. I get negative thoughts. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7 and 8, that we are to commit to God, resist him and he will flee, draw near to him and he will draw near to us. It's not we focus on him, we focus on God, we resist him and take authority, and we draw near to the Lord. He is our focus. He has given us that authority in the Spirit and the rest for our soul. Amen.